This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexuality. The best of both worlds. Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
My, I'm so bi, I can't stop my wandering eye. I knew well before my teens. Kim and Jason both look good to me. Said I wanna taste them all before I'm dead. Hot boys to my back, soft girls to my front. How the hell do I choose when I want everyone? This isn't a game for some boyfriend. I love them all the same. This is my problem. My, I'm so bi. I can't stop my wandering eye. My, I'm so bi. Them all, the girls and guys. I ain't afraid to talk of sex with the XY or the XX. It's something I can't hide, so I'll wear it with the pride. Like Solander with Woo and me. Hell, the blump is too. Hot boys to my back, soft girls to my front. How the hell do I choose when I want everyone? This isn't a game for some boyfriend. I love them all the same. This is my problem. My, I'm so bi. I can't stop my wandering eye. My, I'm so bi. I want them all. Girls and guys, gender bender, trans, whatever, any shape or size, don't care, cause it's your eyes in which I wanna stare, no matter what you got down there.
My. So bi, I can't stop my wandering eye. My, I'm so bi. I want them all, the girls and guys.
That was Alicia Champion with Bi. And if that doesn't give it away, you have tuned in to the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I hope you're having a very happy Pride Month. This is Ruby. First, thank you to Miranda Clayton and the team at Geeks Out for another great show. Tonight, I'll be speaking with Benjamin Soler, who is a poet, writer, and organizer of Melbourne's Spoken Word Festival, the second of which ever is coming up quite soon. We're going to be talking about why spoken poetry has always been a safe haven, often for the LGBTIQA+ community, what we can look for in the coming festival, including two nights of trans and gender diverse themed slam poetry at Hares and Hyenas, amazing, and lots more, including two poems of Ben. One of them is coming up, which you'll hear just after this, which is called Agenda. Now, of course, as always, you can find us on our socials at Triple Bypass on Joy, on Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, and email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au. You can also find all of our podcasts available on Spotify, on iTunes, and wherever you can find good podcasts, including a few exclusive interviews and our very special Bi Polyamory cast with Anthony. So check all those out. Now, here is Agenda by Benjamin.
This poem is called Agenda because I think it's really funny. I'm unsure of this poem, but it works because it's about being unsure. I mean, you could ask me, sure. It's a bit weird, to be honest. The questions always seem like an accusation, like you don't really want to know, like if you have to ask. It's not obvious, like I'm confusing you. Sorry, I'll wear a sign next time. There's a wiki in the back of my throat. I'll spit it at you. If I'm honest, every time you ask me, I'll give you a different answer. Ask me if I'm straight, an hour later, I'll have changed my mind, like Melbourne or Denver weather. It just comes all of a sudden sometimes. My mother can't quite work out bisexuality. She asked me when I told her, does that mean I'm breaking up with my girlfriend? And I try to find a metaphor for it. Like I could say that if I liked both chocolate and strawberry ice cream, does that mean I stop eating chocolate? But it doesn't work right because we're not talking about ice cream. A guy asked me once if I'm dating a woman, am I still queer? And I asked myself that once, but I remember giving a guy a hand job on the dance floor. So I have witnesses. Gave me a lifetime membership. That's how it works, right? Do I have to give it back? So then I look up pansexuality in the dictionary. It seemed to fit, but I turned the wrong corner, accidentally fell into Urban Dictionary, and I got lost in someone's neckbeard, and they didn't like my eyeliner. Am I a man? Yeah, I guess so. Like most of the time, I am as I appear. Ask me tomorrow, though, I might be in a mood between the times of 12 and 12:15 where I kind of forget. People think I should be permanent. And when I change my mind, it'll neatly be announced on Facebook that I feel a bit feminine today. Sure, it'll pass and then I'll be screaming like I want to be Bill Moran, kind of scramble up this poem and he'll love it. Why do you ask such stupid questions? I've seen your type. You twitch about as if me wearing rainbow football socks is going to out that thought you had for 5 seconds before someone slapped you on the back, gave you a beer, pointed to a woman across the bar and told you to go harass her until she likes you. That's how it works, right? I picked it up a bit in high school. Sorry I didn't ask for more solid instructions. If you take me as I appear, as I appear in that moment, it all turned out the same until you stalked me on Facebook, tagged in photos where I've switched. I don't have to spell it out for you. You ask me who I am, and I can't give you a straight answer. But don't assume everything is impermanent. Like my mum thought I was bound to run away. Like if I change, it won't be the same. If I have to spell it out with you, I'm in love with her, not her pronoun. That will never change.
I'm Hi, I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That was Sia with Cheap Thrills, which was a song of choice by our next guest here on Triple Bypass, the story that puts the B in LGBTIQA+, also a P for pansexual, a Q for queer and for questioning, and an E for everybody else. My name's Ruby, and I am very excited to be joined by Benjamin Sola, a spoken word artist and organizer based right here in Melbourne. He was described by Maxine Beniba Clark as a writer to be reckoned with and has appeared in Overland, Going Down Swinging, Cordite Poetry Review, also in White Night, Melbourne Fringe, the Bowery Poetry Club in New York, and right about now in Houston, too, in the United States, while coaching and supporting the Slam-a-Lama Ding Dong National Poetry Slam teams in 2018 and 19. He's also the director of the Melbourne Spoken Word and Melbourne Spoken Word and Poetry Festival, with a forthcoming collection called My Anxiety Has Imposter Syndrome. A title which I so deeply appreciate on so many levels. Thanks so much for joining us, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Ben, you appeared on my radar when you posted a video of yourself on one of the Facebook groups that has kind of started up that was really looking at, again, bi erasure and the bi agenda, really. And that was, I think, when we first started to interact, and it became clear that my limited experience with spoken word, that it really is a medium that has become, or maybe always has been, a really honoured and treasured space for a lot of the LGBTIQA plus community for self-expression. So how did you go from starting to being the director of Melbourne Spoken Word and Melbourne Spoken Word and Poetry Festival? Because I'm assuming they are different.
Yeah, Melbourne Spoken Word's the organisation and the festival is the festival.
And you're the director of them both?
Yeah.
You're a bi director?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And you've toured, I know, Slam-a-Lama Ding Dong, which by the name is the best name for anything that I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's the funnest poetry slam in the world.
And you travelled the world for it.
Mm-hmm. What was the first question?
This tends to happen with me. So going back, but how did you go from, you know, travelling the world with your poetry and with coaching festivals and being the director of the Melbourne Spoken Word organisation and their festival? How did you start out? Like, was it a quick ascension?
I discovered spoken word poetry via a friend through activism. Literally, I saw him on a train one day and he was like, I'm on my way to a poetry open mic. And at that time, I was pretty much just writing like Stephen King rip-off stories, and I wanted to be a horror writer. And I had some poems up my sleeve, but I'd never read them aloud or submitted them anywhere. And he invited me along, and I just found the open mic that I went to, Passionate Tongues Poetry, and the open mics I went to after that. I was like, wow, I can actually get up and read my writing and people can listen to me, and I kind of get that immediate reaction. And compare that to kind of other ways people engage with literature is like lots of submitting out to journals and never hearing back or getting rejections. I found, yeah, the spoken word space was much more welcoming, and so I just started like obsessively going to poetry open mics for years. I guess the thing that happened was I found that most of the open mics are very word of mouth. Like, you go to one and someone invites you to another, like maybe there's a leaflet or something.
Speakeasy
like that.
Speakeasy style.
Yeah. But I was like, I'm a very organizational person in my head, so I was like, I'll just create a website, like a gig guide with all the gigs. And so that's how Melbourne Spoken Word was born. And from there, I've started organizing gigs. And as of last year, yeah, we started organizing a festival again, which is, I guess, a rekindling of Overload Poetry Festival, which existed and died out like just as I started getting involved in the scene. And from there, like, started running Slam-a-Lama Ding Dong and a whole bunch of things. So,
did you come up with a name?
No, Slam-a-Lama Ding Dong's founded by Michelle Dabrowski, and I've been co-producer of it for, I think, like 3 years or something.
Fantastic.
Which has been fun.
And so did you start by having poetry that was very explicitly talking about your sexuality and the fluidity of your ways of attracting, or was that something that came with the confidence you got from performing at open mics?
Initially, I would have said no, because most of the poems were very, like, kind of big P politics, rah, rah, rah. It was very, like, an angry young poet. But I always forget that the first ever poem I read on the open mic was called The Homophobe, which was actually about, I had this like weird homophobic stalker that used to follow me around when I was handing out leaflets for same-sex marriage a couple of years ago. And that was the first poem I performed, but I didn't really touch on it again until probably I wrote that agenda piece, which was written in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep. And it was deliberately meant to be kind of a bit scrambled because my head was a bit scrambled at the time. So, yeah.
I think it's something a lot of bi-plus folk can relate to in some ways.
Yeah, I just wanted to get across the idea that sometimes I'm very confused about my sexuality, and that's a fine thing to be.
A lot of things are confusing. I think, do you find that your style of writing has changed? You mentioned that you were doing a lot of writing before you started to speak it out loud. Mm-hmm. Did that change how you went about creating a message? Did it change what you wanted to say? So you mentioned your poetry went from being a big P politics, so talking about broader themes, and then things like the agenda became a lot more personal. Did you find, what caused that change?
I think spoken word creates a space where you can say things that, I don't know, I've never really even said to my own family sometimes. Like, there's that kind of space in which people listen and interact, and you see each other at other gigs and stuff, and it kind of creates a space where I feel like a lot of people can be very vulnerable in that space and very honest. And I guess initially writing for me was an escape where I was talking about, like, fiction, horror stories, like, and then maybe it started becoming this political avenue, but then I was like, nowadays it's very kind of personal. And it's more, like, cathartic. I don't know. It's cheaper than therapy. Yeah.
The politics of the personal and how political everything personal is, I think, particularly for our communities. And why do you think, it's because of that ability to safely express vulnerability that we have seen a lot of the LGBTIQA plus community feel drawn towards spoken word and self-expression? Has that changed in the last few years while you've been organising?
It kind of ebbs and flows because there was used to be way more kind of queer-themed spoken word stuff that I'd seen around Melbourne. Like Hares and Hyenas is a great place that hosts some of the spoken word events. There was like a word slam there for a few years that was really cool. And I guess, yeah, I feel like now wherever you go, whether it's like a specifically queer-themed kind of night or it's just a general poetry event like Slam-A-Lam and Ding Dong, people, those kind of stories do come out, which is really good to see. It's like really cathartic. But I've kind of been renewed to kind of maybe hopefully see like another kind of specifically queer-themed space kind of come out soon, because at the National Poetry Slam in the US the past 2 years, they had a queer themed open mic, and it was like the best like queer open mic I've ever been to, because it wasn't just kind of very like L and G, it was like B and T and I and like, yeah,
big Q,
yeah, it was like all these kind of different queer stories, and like everyone was super supportive. And so when I did agenda there and I was like shitting my pants, I was like, there was like 200 people there. There was like Andrea Gibson hosting, who's like a big queer poet in the US. And I'm like, yeah, I got up and like, but everyone was like super supportive and really encouraging. So I kind of want to create another space like that where people can tell even more vulnerable stories about being queer.
I think it's incredible that, you know, given you're talking about a body of work that is literally about your imposter syndrome and anxiety, that you are getting up and sharing poetry, which is something I think a lot of people would rather die than have to do.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into a bit more about that space and how that's evolving for you. But first, I want to talk to you about, so the next song we'll be playing is Robin's Dancing on My Own, queer classic. What made you suggest this song for the show tonight?
For me, it feels like very much like one of my queer anthems. And also it reminds me of the drag slam we did at Hares and Hyenas a couple of years ago, where we got poets to dress in drag and perform, and it was probably one of my favourite poetry nights I've ever organised. So
sounds like a really good time. We're going to be hearing about how you can find out about some poetry nights that have been coming up in Melbourne soon, so stay tuned. This is To A Bypass and you're on Joy 94.9.
Better than I can.
is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and that was Robin Dancing on My Own, queer anthem. And that was one of the choices by our guest tonight, Benjamin Soler, a spoken word artist and organizer of spoken word poetry here in Melbourne. We've been chatting about how Ben got started, one of his poems, Agenda, which is discussing the confusion around sexuality, but also why he got into spoken word and then proceeded to become one of the chief organizers for it in the state, which is very cool, as well as touring and talking about the upcoming, the second ever Melbourne Spoken Word and Poetry Festival. Now, one of the things that kind of bit in our last discussion was the discussion of poetry slams. And while that song was playing, we had a quick discussion to figure out what a slam was. Turns out I was wrong. So we're going to explain. Can you explain, Benjamin, what is a poetry slam?
Well, slam simply is, it's like a format for a poetry competition that was invented in the 1980s in the US in Chicago. It's basically a poetry competition where you have 3 minutes, no props, no costumes, must be your own original work. And the way it's meant to be judged traditionally is 5 random members from the audience selected. Sometimes those rules change, like it's 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes in the Australian Poetry Slam rules. Some people have like guest judges instead of random poetry random audience members. At Slam-A-Lam and Ding Dong, we like to make sure they're not completely random because we want to get a nice cross-section of the audience so the judging is fair for the conveners and stuff like that.
And so Slam-A-Lam and Ding Dong is the national poetry slam, like, organisation in Australia.
It's the only certified poetry slam that's certified with Poetry Slam Incorporated in America. So we get to send a team as part of that. But Poetry Slam Inc. died in a fire last year in a weird meeting. So I don't think that's happening anymore for the next little while. But you can come see the National Poetry Slam Australia this year at the festival.
Fantastic. And also poetry politics is a fascinating topic.
Oh, it's very messy. Yeah.
Messy? I would know nothing about that with queer politics. Not at all. Is that this era of competition? So the idea is that you write your poem beforehand to go in and present. Mm. Are there themes that are given? Is it similar to, you know, I think things like lip sync contests or dance offs, or rap battles where people are supposed to be as much as possible trying to flow like at the time and like going off what the opponent is saying? Or is it you're preparing pieces that are particularly suited for a throwdown?
I think generally people prepare pieces beforehand and memorize them is the thing that's kind of can sometimes set slam apart from like a traditional poetry reading, in that people like heavily memorize and choreograph their movements with the pieces. And you can go into a slam preparing to perform a particular piece, but sometimes the themes of the night, someone does a piece before you that touches on a particular theme, and then sometimes you have the poem you didn't expect to do that can respond to that. So sometimes people have like a couple of options.
It's like a poetry debate sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so do you find that how long have you been, you've been organizing for about 3 years now as a main organizer, or how long have you been part of Slam-A-Lama Ding Dong?
So I've been co-producer there for 3 years.
Yeah.
And Melbourne Spoken Word for about 9 years or something. I lost count. Yeah.
And you set that up quite quickly after realizing you loved this form. Is that correct?
Yeah.
As someone who has no idea what it's like to set up a bunch of things after a few moments of euphoria, I say sarcastically, people can't read my facial cues when I'm on the radio. But do you find that, what was it about that particularly that you were trying to seek out? Because I feel that am I correct in assuming that the feelings that you were getting from going to a poetry session, you wanted other people to be able to access easily?
Yeah, and I feel like I only came across it like almost by circumstance, by knowing someone in the scene, and I'd been around like writers' festivals and kind of the literary community in Melbourne for ages since I moved down to Melbourne. So I was like, I want to bring like more people into it.
You want to build a community.
Maybe it was like my activist roots about like handing out posters and like advertising things on Facebook and stuff that like gave me the tools that I needed to kind of try to bring more people in. So I spend a lot of time doing outreach and trying to convince people to, you know, it's not so scary to get up on the open mic. Just you'll feel better afterwards. I know you're nervous, but it's very fulfilling.
And so You mentioned you've talked a bit about your activist background. Was there any specific causes that you were very committed towards, or organisations that you're working with? And how did that? Did you leave that focus behind to move on to poetry? Because I think poetry is a form of activism. Often it encourages connection and empathy and compassion, which are all pretty radical things, especially at the moment.
I was particularly involved in kind of refugee politics for quite a number of years, and I left doing that a couple of years ago. Not because I didn't believe in it anymore, but just the intensity of poetry organizing now and the intensity of, like, activism was, like, clashing. So I just had to, like, make a choice one way or the other. And my heart is, like, even for, like, my own mental health was I just need to do poetry, like, full-time for a while and see how that sits.
And, of course, I suppose the issue is that you'd created a space so that there wasn't anyone else in at the moment with mm-hmm. poetry as well. So that became a pretty vital thing, I imagine, for a lot of people yeah. now. And so with the upcoming Melbourne Spoken Word and Poetry Festival, what could people expect to find there, particularly members of our communities?
I think you can expect to find lots of different kinds of events throughout the festival. About half of them are open mic, which means that, you know, you can go to an event and go and see, like, a favourite poet or, like, a featured poet that someone's, like, toured from overseas to come see. But also you can, a lot of the events, you can just sign up your name and get up and perform. And for me, that's some of the most exciting parts of the festival, in that you get to hear a whole bunch of stories that you weren't even expecting to hear, or see someone kind of delight in their face as they are able to tell their own story for the first time and actually have people listen to it. I think for me, like, heading out to Bar Usu on Sydney Road of Monday night is really powerful for that reason. Those kind of events are just as exciting as seeing the individual World Poetry Slam champion perform on closing night.
And so the festival slogan for this year is "Our microphone is your blank page." So it does seem like, again, it's a lot about people having an opportunity to share. And what do you think about the way people do share through poetry, which is often quite a broad way of just putting something out there? How is that different to maybe telling your story via other means, like via video or even just via writing? Is it about intimacy? Is it about people's faces?
I think it's so much to do with, one, the way in which, for some people, at least for me, I feel like vocalizing my story rather than writing it down feels more powerful. You can kind of get across the intonations of your voice, and I feel like I can communicate so much more with my voice rather than writing. I feel like writing can often be misinterpreted. But also it's just the audience in for a great spoken word crowd is with you the whole way. Some people dislike this or like this, but there's lots of clicking at poetry slams, you know, or like people generally like laughing. I do kind of weird funny pieces, so to hear people like laugh, or if I do like a corny love poem, to hear the whole audience go, oh, like all that kind of stuff is really special for me. And then the conversations afterwards, of course, like to get off stage and then someone come up to you and go, I really felt that I had a similar experience to you, like, is important, not just for me, but for potential audience members.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's, again, almost creating a representation of a multitude of experiences. People don't feel so isolated by yeah. their own experiences.
Yeah, totally. I had an experience of Pride in Footscray a couple of weeks ago where I did this piece, which was just about me feeling insecure as a kid about being super skinny. And I didn't really think much of it, but it turns out there was a guy in the crowd who was just like, oh my God, I feel shit about being, like, really thin as well. And was like, I've never, like, heard someone get up on stage and say that before. So yeah, there's like moments like that you kind of never really forget.
For sure. I think it sounds almost like, oh, you're talking own parts of you that you've been ashamed of or been scared of, and by owning them kind of feel a bit more comfortable with them.
Yeah.
We'll be talking a bit more about this. It's very fascinating. Obviously, I enjoy talking to yeah. on the radio. But we'll be right back after this next one. Now, this is by Willem, RuPaul alumni, the song Chow Down. So why did we pick this one?
I'm currently binge listening to lots of drag songs at the moment because I have a dream of doing baby drag soon. So,
do you have a drag one? Do you have a drag name?
Annie Crevice.
That's magnificent. Yeah. We'll be right back. This is Chad Am by Willem. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Willem Belli. Detox.
And Vicky.
You might feel shame. You're an abomination. We might cross dress, but that's not what's to blame. Making our coins, but it's all for food. We'll do anything, we're down for groups. After taking some dudes from behind, all we wanna score is chicken fried.
Told me to dip my nuggets in. Why is it because I live my life so gay? I should not eat Chick-fil-A. I'm gonna eat it anyway. They say his promise is true, but what if you are a Jew? They need a kosher meal too to bring their life to a new. Clothes on Sundays, it is awful. Now there's tears in my eyes. No more waffle fries. My only bleeding hope is for the facts I can't cope with the fact that they hate gays, but their food is so dope. The chicken's a blame, like shooting cane into your own pain. What a shame you don't enjoy the chicken form of flame. You'll get busy, but to eat there is delicious. When I've got an appetite, I ain't got no pride. We queens are bottomless piss, whatever in the drive-thru. Honey mustard on my tits, I'ma be enough for you.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna gobble up a waffle fry. But no, don't you know Chick-fil-A say you make the baby Jesus cry. Do the proof, get for pay.
You're listening to Triple Bypass, home of Joy's bisexual agenda. That was Chow Down by Willem. My name's Ruby, and I am very excited to be joined here still by Benjamin Soler, the bisexual slam poet heavyweight here in Melbourne, the director of Melbourne Spoken Word, and the upcoming Melbourne Spoken Word and Poetry Festival with a forthcoming collection, My Anxiety Has Imposter Syndrome, which we just found out was originally going to be called My Bisexual Anxiety Has Imposter Syndrome, but it was a bit too many syllables, and that's important when you're a poet.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking a little bit about how over our interview, how a lot of LGBTIQA plus folk are drawn towards spoken word and can make it their own. In fact, you mentioned that there's going to be a transgender and gender diverse specific poetry. Is it a slam happening with the festival? So that's a competition?
Yeah, over two nights at Hares and Hyenas. I think it's the 17th and 18th.
Of July?
July, yeah. The Trans Poetry Slam, supported by Transgender Victoria.
So, fantastic.
That's not hosted by me. It's hosted by Theodore Murray.
And I'm super excited. Details will all be available online?
Yeah, on mswpf.com.au.
Excellent. Or if people go to melbournespokenword.com, will they find links there too?
Yeah, there's a link to the festival website from there.
Excellent. Now, we've been talking a bit about, we've mentioned and we played at the beginning of the show your poem, The Agenda, around confusion around sexuality. Was that one of the first times that you'd really talked about that in an open forum? And what was the response like?
That was definitely the poem that I performed like everywhere and memorized and kind of like was the first kind of poem where I very explicitly talked about it. And it's still a poem that sometimes in some spaces I'm very nervous about it. I feel like sometimes as a bisexual, you kind of have to come out multiple times, in different spaces, and people make a lot of assumptions, which kind of feeds into the whole imposter syndrome about whether or not you're really queer or not, especially walking into queer spaces or walking into queer spaces with your partner of the opposite sex and people assuming that, oh, you must be straight or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think
stuff and things.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's something that is relatable, and I think as well that kind of feeling. Do you think that sense of, your anxiety, and also like the do I belong here? Can I relate? Has that been maybe something that has led to you doing so much work and it for over 9 years now, of really trying to build these spaces people can come together and feel safe in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to encourage other people to kind of tell those stories as well. In multiple different ways. Like, I tend to kind of do it in the kind of funny, absurd, kind of half making fun of myself, half kind of pointing out the absurdity of things kind of way. But some people do it in a really profound and beautiful way. But I can't write serious poems anymore.
I get that.
I'm a weirdo, so.
Me too.
Yeah, so I like telling that story. And then sometimes, like, I write other poems. I have one particular poem that I've never performed like in public anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It's like even a next step of vulnerable for me, but maybe I'll perform it in a couple of months' time.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
What's that one called?
An Ode to Pegging. Yeah, you heard it here first. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I think, you know, for bisexual men particularly, you know, we've looked at rates. We've got about 10% of bi men ever come out to friends and family.
Yeah.
And I think even with the latest study by Triple J on where the young people are at, found that it was the bi and pansexual guys had the lowest levels of coming out, still under 30. Do you think what kind of response did you get from the Agenda poem?
Some people were like, oh, I didn't know you were bisexual. Which was like, I feel like I was obvious, but not really. Okay.
How would you know?
And then lots of people were like, there were a lot of people go, well, I'm bisexual too, or I've had similar feelings, and kind of that kind of positive. Yeah, and then lots of other weird responses. Like, I mentioned in the poem, I know I'm bisexual because I gave a guy a handjob on a dance floor, which is a true story from some queer night in Sydney. And, like, some people react very weirdly to that because for some reason talking about sexual acts between like opposite sex people is kind of finded out when you talk about it in a same sex situation. Weird comments. I've had someone walk up to my partner after that happens and goes, you should tell your boyfriend to stop giving men handjobs. I was like, what? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I was like, did you work out when that happened or anything? Yeah, okay.
Well, I think that's definitely one of the stereotypes that has come up when you're bi, particularly for bi men, is that you're actually just on your way to gay. And so if you're dating a woman or femme person, then they should be on the eye. But it sounds like, so how long is your partner supportive of your poetry? It sounds like they are if they're coming to all the many, 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 many poetry nights you go to.
My partner, Margot, is also bisexual and also a poet, sometimes reluctant poet, but she has pieces as well. Yeah, and we've been dating for like 11 years. So, yeah, it's like you can be in a long-term relationship with someone and also still be bisexual and remain bisexual. And
yes,
so,
you can.
Yeah, I usually shout very loudly about that.
And has that been something that, but you mentioned still, and this is of it, that you don't always still feel comfortable going into explicitly queer spaces. Now, mm-hmm. Hares and Hyenas is an explicitly LGBTIQA plus bookshop.
Yeah.
There's also obviously one that has its other foot in your world with mm-hmm. the written word and poetry. So what are some of the, with talking about things like anxiety and imposter syndrome, are these things that you're starting to have become easier, or are they things that you're still on your way to working out? And can we look forward to some poetry about that in your next collection?
Like there's spaces like Hairs and Hyenas where I've always felt super comfortable, even before I was more out as a bisexual in the poetry space, because I was going to poetry gigs there and stuff like that. And some spaces it's like, I know I'm actually welcome because I know the owner, and they like say for them to like come in or whatever, and they're like, everyone's welcome, you can put that out, but it doesn't really solve the kind of internal thing inside your head about whether or not you belong or whatever, or like you just, it just really takes like one random comment from one random person to kind of question all of that. Definitely in the upcoming collection there's lots of stuff that deals with that. I have another piece that I did at the Feel Good open mic at MPS, which kind of touches on some of that as well.
Could you share that with us?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll hit pause. Well, and so you're going to be reading this poem for us now, which is excellent. So this will be as we are finishing up for the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you can find out, as I mentioned before, you can find out more details about the upcoming festival at melbournespokenword.com and also at
mswpf.com.au.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be adding those all into our socials. So as usual, you can find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter Triple Bypass, and Instagram Triple Bypass Joy. And shoot us an email at any time to triplebypass@joy.org.au. But now, Benjamin Soler.
This is called Defensive Queer Poem. Once upon a time, Once upon a time, young, small-framed, blonde, long-haired boy, once a wannabe twink, found the label bisexual cut into his MDMA one New Year's Eve, flattered by male attention, never so good at making the first move, too shy, so finds it easier to be pursued. This young queer boy visiting from Sydney hangs around the Peel after plotting communist revolution, but meets young queer girl, not quite the plan that night, still queer though, sometimes he is femme, she is mask, both look good in eyeliner. To reply to the question, who wears the pants in the relationship is an imperfect metaphor that this queer couple makes even more imperfect. The waiter is the most awkward when they mistake them for ladies. He'd wear the wedding dress if they ever got married. I mean, sometimes he wears a suit, etc. Still queer, right? Small, long-haired, blonde boy, looks good in eyeliner, legs made for wearing a dress or tight jeans, writes defensive poems in third person, justifying queer relationship that often doesn't look queer, often looks straight. But if queer be fabulous, they be fabulous, they be queer.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing, Ben.
Thank you.
And when does the festival start?
The festival starts July 12th.
July 12th. So keep an eye out for that. The Melbourne's second ever spoken word and poetry festival with director Benjamin Soler. This has been Triple Bypass. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. Stay tuned on Joy 94.9. And a huge thanks to Benjamin Soler for coming onto the show. That's all the time we have left for this week. And, of course, after this, we'll have Homophonics with Jordan, bringing you interviews and music from LGBTIQA plus artists. So stay tuned for that. Now, of course, we will see you next week. If you're listening live, we'll see you at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday. And if you're listening to this podcast, we'll see you roughly 7 days from now, ending with another great tune, Don't Judge Me by Janelle Monáe. This has been Ruby with Triple Bypass, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.